Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, May 13th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The Sitka Assembly has taken its last informal look at the 2014 budget, and it's ready to move on a vote. The Assembly met in a third and final work session last Thursday night to go over the $25 million general fund, the account that pays for all city services that don't charge their own fees, like utilities. The balanced budget with a $38 surplus is gone, but so is its author, former City Administrator Jim Dinley. Under the guidance of interim City Administrator Jay Sweeney, who is also Sitka's finance director, the Assembly gave that balanced budget a reality test with mixed results. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Before moving to the general fund, the Assembly gave the hospital budget a quick checkup. Admissions are up 18%, outpatient procedures up 42%, emergency room visits up 13%, and 21 babies delivered so far this year, with 23 more on the way. Hospital CEO Hugh Hallgren worked hard to temper his enthusiasm.
We don't want to confuse the illness of the community with the success of the hospital. So believe me, that's not the way we think. What we're thinking is that we're providing services that mean that people don't have to leave Sitka to get their health care somewhere else.
This is a significant contrast from the not-too-distant past. Assemblymember Mike Reif remembered.
It wasn't too many years ago, and the community was questioning whether it was a viable institution to retain. It was a burden to the city, and under your leadership and the team you put together, it's a lot of compliments coming, from, at least from me and what I hear.
Hallgren called the hospitals a good news budget. Over the next 4 hours, the news was not quite as good as the Assembly began to dissect a budget that had been balanced to $38 on the day former Administrator Jim Dinley left his post last month. First problem, hiring a new administrator is expensive. $30,000 to recruit and interview candidates and fly the finalists and spouses to Sitka. Throw in $25,000 for moving expenses, and the budget is now showing a deficit of $50,000 just to replace the person who wrote it. Second problem, the school district submitted a budget of $67,000 in the red, hoping the Assembly might cover it on the better-than-likely chance that Secure Rural Schools funding will be reauthorized in Congress. There was consensus on the Assembly to cover the shortfall in the schools. But these increases in a budget of over $25 million don't really matter that much. In the words of Assemblymember Tor Christensen, statistically speaking, the budget is still balanced. Dig a little deeper, and there are bigger concerns. For instance, Public Works Director Michael Harmon has only $200,000 next year to repair and maintain Sitka's roads. He's got $313,000 to totally replace two streets. The grand total for roads is half of what Harmon already considers insufficient.
We're usually around $1 million this year when you combine the two together, so we'd be at $513,000.
Harmon said the actual figure to sustain Sitka's existing street program was more in the neighborhood of $3 million. The budget was starting to look a lot less balanced to Mike Reif.
I think we as an assembly have to start asking the serious questions. There's lots of needs. School is a big need, and it's a very important need. Do we want to go back to gravel? Do we want to tell our citizens? That's the question we need to ask. We have to be honest with them. We can't just keep inadequately funding our infrastructure, our city infrastructure, and say we're balancing our budget. We're not. We're fooling ourselves.
The gap between need and budgeted amount was not limited to roads. Phyllis Hackett was upset that the community development funds, the money distributed to local nonprofits, was only $120,000. She thought the amount was embarrassing, considering the size of the social service network the city relies on. Jennifer Robinson, executive director of the Sitka Chamber of Commerce, felt the same way about the Sitka Convention and Visitors Bureau. She read a resolution asking to boost that organization's funding to $350,000. The Assembly also identified unmet needs in the police department and some accounting that didn't seem to add up in search and rescue. A $9,700 charge to the Internal Service Fund for Information Technology Services, basically a computer network. Assembly members Phyllis Hackett and Tor Christensen objected.
And it doesn't seem like they even have a place to have that infrastructure.
They've got one laptop that isn't connected to the network.
Let alone do they even have it. So I think that that is something that's really misrepresented.
By the time the Assembly had reached consensus on adjustments to the budget that they felt were critical, Mike Reif pointed out that they were now in a $500,000 deficit. Despite 4 hours of work, members seemed resolved to be more straightforward about the realities of the problems facing Sitka. Michelle Putz.
We need to be a lot more creative in either funding or finding ways to save, whether that's combining our maintenance with the schools, whether that's combining administration, something. We're going to have to figure it out because we're going to continually need these requests from the schools, the Historical Society, SCVB, everybody. We're not getting better. We seem to continually take the dive down. So, we're not going to get there this year, but we have to start being a lot more strategic, and we have to be a lot more bold.
And Matt Hunter.
Our budget is unsustainable. I agree. We can make ends meet next year, but that's at the expense of our future years. So I think any leftover money we have beyond these necessities that we're talking about, we need to save, and infrastructure sinking fund's a good way, reserves is a good way. But this summer and next year, I really hope we can have a visioning session again. Yeah. That was extremely valuable. That's the only time we've really had that we've actually looked at the future, because all of us are so busy and our meetings take 4 or 5 hours, and we just don't have time structured currently to deal with these long issues. Maybe we need a long-term planning commission. Well, that's getting off the point, but I'm just saying that we need to change how we operate somewhat too to face these problems.
Interim Administrator Jay Sweeney called the work session a first long pass through the general fund. He said the finance department would try to incorporate some of the Assembly's suggested changes and present a budget for action at the group's next regular meeting on Tuesday, May 14th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The youngest member of the Alaska Legislature gave the commencement speech address Saturday for students graduating from the UAF Bristol Bay campus in Dillingham. KDLG's Mike Mason has the story.
Jonathan Christ Tompkins is a Democrat from Sitka, and he's just 24 years old. He believes there's a place for younger Alaskans in state government.
A representative democracy, to my mind, should represent all segments of our population. And there are numerous issues we're facing right now that are going to profoundly affect my generation and generations beyond mine. And having a voice that can speak to those issues, to me, is tremendously important.
Last year, Christ Tompkins successfully ran for the District 34 seat in the Alaska Legislature. He edged out longtime State Representative Bill Thomas by just 32 votes. Christ Tompkins now represents a district that includes Sitka, Haines, Angoon, Craig, and Metlakatla. He asserts that he was not planning on running for office, but decided to throw his hat in the ring because of the debate over changing the oil tax regime in the state of Alaska.
I was very disillusioned that the prior legislature, at least the prior Alaska House of Representatives, passed a really large, circa $2 billion a year tax cut for oil companies. To me, that is not in the best interest of Alaska. And so I felt very passionate about that issue, among many others. And with redistricting sort of coming to a fore, it was a perfect storm, and I ditched school and ran for the House of Representatives.
The school that Christ Tompkins ditched was Yale University, and he admitted that he feels guilty that he will be giving Saturday's commencement speech in Dillingham while being a college dropout. During this year's legislative session, Christ Tompkins was a vocal opponent of Senate Bill 21, which was the bill that made significant changes to the state's oil tax system. He's now a strong supporter of the effort to repeal the new tax system.
It's surrendering astounding amounts of revenue for a sort of this glimmer of hope that there'll be increased production. But, I mean, cutting taxes in already astonishingly profitable legacy fields, which is really where the bulk of this tax cut is going to be directed, is going to do very little to increase production.
Christ Tompkins is a Democrat, and he anticipated that most of the differences in the legislature would be along party lines. However, he quickly learned that geography often trumps party in the state of Alaska.
Just as much as there's a divide between Democrats and Republicans, there's as much a divide between rural and coastal legislators and those from the Rail Belt. And that's something that's perhaps not intuitive if you grow up in a rural community. And I mean, for me, growing up in Sitka, I'd always, you know, think it's, you know, politics is always D's versus R's, but it's not always that simple. And ultimately, that begets a sort of bipartisanship in the legislature, which is really healthy. I mean, in many more ways than one, Juneau is not Washington, D.C., and for that, we should count our blessings.
Jonathan Christ Tompkins is the youngest member of the Alaska legislature, and he's in Dillingham to give the commencement speech for Saturday's graduation ceremony for the UAF Bristol Bay campus. The commencement ceremony gets started at 2 o'clock in the Dillingham Elementary School gym. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
Sea Alaska is making more money. Southeast Alaska's regional native corporation says it brought in almost $312 million during 2012. That's close to 20% more than the previous year and the largest amount from the past 5 years. The numbers are for total income, also called gross revenues. Sea Alaska's profits or net revenue are $11.3 million for 2012. That's 40% more than 2011, but it's lower than the previous 2 years. The numbers are in Sea Alaska's 2012 annual report, which was released Friday. The Juneau-based corporation has about 21,000 shareholders. More than half Sea Alaska's 2012 gross revenues were in the service sector, including environmental contracting and security. About a quarter came from manufacturing, mainly plastics factories in the lower 48 and Mexico. A little less than a fifth of the overall earnings came from natural resources, including timber and gravel operations. The rest was from investments. The manufacturing, service, and investments had higher profits than the previous year, but natural resources profits dropped. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.